Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Garrett Dickerson. Garrett, I am delighted that you are here with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Donita. Excited to be on.
All right. Are you ready to get to your one-sentence bio?
I am ready to get to my one-sentence bio.
Do you think you can actually do it?
I think so.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
We'll see. I was born and raised in Nashville with three boys and a wife and work as a market director with an organization called Thrivent.
That's a pretty good one-sentence bio. I think you actually did it.
I think that's one sentence.
Hey.
A couple commas in there, but okay. I think that's a sentence.
So I have heard lots of one-sentence bios. Usually they're not one sentence. I think you did a one-sentence bio, so thank you.
I gave that some thought.
You did.
I really did. Okay. I didn't write it out, but I did think about it multiple times.
All right. I love it. Well, are you ready to jump into the questions?
For sure.
All right. How do your values impact your management philosophy?
So I believe that not only should my values impact my management philosophy, but I believe that understanding and knowing well the values of those that you lead should influence your management philosophy. The phrase that I have leaned into is covenant leadership, and that's what my style of leadership is covenant leadership. And I would describe that similarly to the covenants that you see in context biblically. And you see covenants between our Creator and between other biblical figures. And God saying, this is what I promise I will do. What do you promise in return? And what happens if we fail to live up to those promises to each other? What are the consequences of that? And sometimes we see those consequences being a whole lot heavier than others, especially in Scripture. But that's the style of leadership that I take. And so in order to have that really good relational leadership approach, to have that covenant for that relationship to exist, both people have to firmly understand what values each person has and what is most important to each other. And so I've learned this from an organization called Think to Perform, based out of, I believe it's in Wisconsin and some in Minneapolis. But a good friend of mine, business coach Dave Meldahl, has really helped me lean into understanding those that I lead, their values. And he describes, as the founder of Think to Perform, Doug Linick describes, their Woody Woofy. And that's an acronym. And it stands for, what do you want for yourself? Hmm. And so having really clear understanding around each other's values and what do each of us want so that we can have that covenant relationship with each other.
So you have a new employee start. How do you learn what their values are? And how do you share what your values are with them?
Yeah, great question. So that actually starts in the interview process. So one of the very first things that we do as a follow-up to a first conversation is we actually send out an exercise through Think to Perform. And it's really simple. It's 50 digital flashcards that have various values on them. And the process is narrowing down those 50 down to 5. And you do it in stages. And so it's really, really hard to take 50 down to 5 because you start getting into things that are really important, but maybe not at the core of who you are. And so they share those with me in our next interview. And then I share mine with them. And so I walk them through my thought process. And so my 5 values are faith, family, excellence, experience, and creativity. Wow. And I've actually developed that into a fulfillment statement. Mm. And so we lay the foundation even before they're an employee of, this is our culture. This is how I'm going to lead. And understanding who you are at your core is going to shape how we interact.
Yeah, that's great. That way you make sure that they fit your culture and you fit with them.
For sure.
Because you want both those things.
Yeah. One little trick of the trade is don't share your values before they share theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Because then all of a sudden they start mirroring what your values are. And
they're
like, oh, I want to get this job. Mm. And so I'm gonna say what I think they want to hear, yeah.
Do you look for values that are similar to yours in Thrivent? Or kind of tell me your process.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think it's necessarily important to look for the individual values per se. I think it's more around seeking understanding.
Okay.
And it's setting the tone more than anything else that this is an open relationship and that we are seeking understanding of each other. Mm. And that's beginning to build trust, which allows for that covenant relationship.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. You ready for question number two?
For sure.
All right. Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
So first, I would say my good friend and current direct leader, Luke Ficken, has had a tremendous amount of influence in me and my leadership style. I've had the opportunity to be around significantly great leaders over the course of my life. I would have to name my mom and dad, that they've had components of helping shape me into being a leader. I would have to say Kristen, my wife, certainly challenges me on, you know, my leadership capacity and encouraging growth in that area. But then I also think about people that I had formative moments with in say high school. I think about, you know, my football coach, David Martin, and my baseball coach, Richie Estep, my basketball coach, Keith Edwards, and numerous teachers that were very influential that I think if you went back, you could point to different things that I saw in them that have amalgamated into who I am, especially in a leadership perspective. And then I would be remiss to not, you know, further mention Dave Meldahl has been a huge influence. The leadership team within Thrivent has been tremendous for me enterprise-wide. And then I would also be remiss not to mention Jason Elkins, who is another business coach that I lean heavily into, who's helped me really define over the course, especially the last year, some new evolutions in who I am as a leader.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for all those recommendations. I love also that you said your mom and dad.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've had a podcast yet, maybe one or two, but most everybody mentions their parents, which I think is pretty special as well.
For sure. Yeah. And I recognize that that's not everybody's story. Mm-hmm. And I wish that it was. I wish everybody had the relationship that I feel like I've been fortunate to have with my mom and dad and still have. Both of them are with us. They're still been married, I think 43 years, which I think is incredible. And so I really, really appreciate everything that they've done for me, which should go without saying, but I think it's good to say that every once in a while.
Oh, absolutely. Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message. Are you ready to become the leader you've always wanted to be? Then join us for 24/7 Leadership's Power Talk series. Leaders never rest. They lead all the time, 24/7. In this dynamic training, you'll master the essential communication and thinking skills to showing up as a leader you envision every single day. Learn to be fully present with yourself and others, to listen deeply, and to create lasting developmental alliances with your team. Who could benefit from this transformational training, you ask? Well, anyone leading a team, from new managers to seasoned CEOs. Past participants rave about these coaching skills and how they positively impacted both their personal and professional lives. So don't wait. Unleash your leadership potential today with 24/7 Leadership's Power Talk series. Visit our website, 247leadership.org, to learn more and sign up today. 24/7 Leadership is powered by the College of Business. Ready for question number three?
Hit me.
What book has made the biggest impact on you?
Aside from, you know, the faith answer, the Bible, we'll just put that on the shelf, no pun intended. I would imagine from a leadership point of view that I wouldn't be able to narrow it down to one. So
okay.
I'm going to say a few.
Okay, that's fine.
So one would be You're in Charge, Now What?
Mm.
That's a great, great book and significantly influenced, especially what to do as a new leader and how to lean in to making strategic, intentional moves early on in your leadership role. A second is Patrick Lencioni, and pretty much for listeners, anything that he does is fantastic. Yeah. And from a leadership point of view, I think The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team is really, really good, and I've read that multiple times. Then probably from a talent selection point of view as a leader, The Ideal Team Player by him is also fantastic.
Yeah, I like The Ideal Team Player because it points out that we're all different.
For sure.
And we all need different things. What I'm really good at, you may not be really good at. And if I'm in a role that you would actually be better served at, then I'm not going to be doing so great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great book. And I love Patrick Lencioni's books, and they're brought up a lot on this podcast because they're told in such a great fables you know, way that it's easy to understand, and they're all short.
Yes.
Which I also like.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a big audio book guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not much of a reader because I lose focus and my mind's constantly going. So I have to reread things mm-hmm. multiple times, but you can listen to one of his books in 4 or 5 hours,
right.
if that. And so I really appreciate that about him too, especially with as much windshield time as I have.
Yeah.
I usually knock out, you know, 20, 25 books a year.
Yeah.
Just listening to him. So
that's great.
Yeah. Really love his work.
That's awesome. All right. Are you ready for my favorite part of the podcast?
For sure.
Okay. So you get 60 seconds.
Okay.
Your job is to answer as many questions as you can in 60
okay.
seconds.
Okay.
You get one pass.
Okay.
All right. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your passion project?
A book that I'm working on.
What makes you feel unstoppable?
My kids.
How many pair of pants do you own?
More than 20.
What's your favorite meal?
Mazatlan and Jolton Peter's Nachos, half steak, half chicken, over chips, no rice.
That's pretty specific. What's the goofiest or weirdest thing you did as a kid?
The goofiest or weirdest thing that I did as a kid? Oh, pass.
Do you eat or drink soup?
With a spoon, you eat it. I'm not a psychopath.
What's the best gift you've ever received?
I remember my dad bringing home my first set of catching equipment when he came home from work.
Okay. All right. You did not do well in that rapid fire 60 seconds.
I didn't think that I would.
You may have overthought some of those,
That's
but that
okay.
is okay.
Felt like there were really quality answers, though.
You know, so quality over quantity, right?
Absolutely. I'm a quality over quantity guy.
I love it. All right. Parting advice for a manager. What's the best advice that you can give to a manager?
I would say that culture is everything.
Mm.
It's not an important thing. It's the thing. And some mistakes that I feel like I've made along the way, which would also lean into ideal team player mentality, is I would encourage identifying early. So especially if you're a new leader and you're coming in and you're attempting to understand the culture and understand the influencers to the culture within the organization, that you identify what I refer to as the culture elephant in the room.
Hmm.
And that you do not eat that elephant one bite at a time. You very quickly and immediately invite that elephant to be a meal somewhere else.
Hmm. So where have you seen that before?
I think you will see that in how people interact with each other. I think at the simplest form is negativity.
Mm.
And so in the ideal team player, you have Lencioni's hypothesis that the ideal team player is humble, hungry, and smart. And smart from the perspective of social intelligence. And I think you see it most common in that social intelligence category or lack thereof. Mm. You have people that clearly do not understand that what they say, that what they do impacts other people. Mm. And just because they can do something doesn't mean they should. And just because they think something doesn't mean that it needs to come out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where you see it, in my experience, most common. And so the cultural tenets that I attempt to promote are, we are going to treat each other the way that we want to be treated. And we are going to do what we say we will do. And I think if we do those two things, which I believe both of those things are in a pretty popular book that's been around a long time. And if we do those two things, they tend to influence significantly in a cascading way, pretty much everything else.
Sure.
And so that's where I feel like I've seen that.
So you mentioned the elephant being in the room, the culture elephant being in the room. How do you take it out?
I think that can be done a number of ways. And probably every scenario is going to be a little bit different. But if I were to boil that down, I think the first thing is that in treating each other the way that we want to be treated, you need to, as the leader, go to that person and say, you may not realize this, but did you know that this exists about you? That, hey, you said this in a meeting the other day, and did you notice the body language or the tone or the environment of the room change? And so I think first is you owe it to that person to tell them, because I have experienced where very genuinely good people are just not socially intelligent.
Oh, sure.
And so making them aware, I have had the experience where they've said, I did not know that. Mm. That never occurred to me. I didn't notice that at all.
You have to be pretty good about your own self though, before
For
you
sure.
have those conversations. Like you have to make sure that you're not embodying the same things that you're pointing out in others.
Absolutely.
So how do you make sure that you've actually done the self inventory first?
So I think it goes back to, if you have that trust built, the only caveat to that is, what if you're that leader coming in that's brand new and everybody's just still trying to get to know you?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are moments where, as a new leader, you're going to have to step into those situations. I've never entered an organization or into a leadership role where there wasn't somebody that I needed to probably pretty quickly get to and really, really start holding close and trying to understand, is this someone that we need to invite out of the organization, or is this someone that may just need to have some tweaking done?
Mm.
And so I think for me, the way that you address that after you raise that up to them is then you have to determine, okay, are they coachable?
Mm-hmm.
Are they receiving this well? And if you have that covenant relationship with them and they know that about you, they should see pretty quickly that you are genuine in this. So I think that's how you check that, is that it goes back to that covenant relationship, that covenant leadership style in my view. And so after that, if you realize this person is just not going to lean into this person is just not receiving this well, then the language that I've used is, I think that I'm doing you a disservice by not allowing you to seek other opportunity.
Mm, yeah.
And so I give you full permission. If you feel like this isn't the environment where you're going to be most successful, you have full permission to seek that opportunity elsewhere.
Yeah.
And if that's not something that you feel like, if we're not mutually decided in that, then it may end up that we need to go a different direction.
I had a manager that worked for me once that I came in as a new leader, and he was a good manager, but he didn't want to work for me.
Mm.
And I said to him, you know, I'm not leaving, and I know you want to be a manager, so let's find you a better place to manage. And he left, and it all worked out. But those are hard conversations, but those are conversations that you need to be willing to have as a leader.
I unfortunately have had to have several of those conversations over the years. And I wouldn't say that they ever get easier, but you become more equipped to navigate them.
Yeah. Garrett, thanks for being a guest.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for a future guest, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.